and welcome to the podcast for the Center for the Study and Teaching of Writing. I'm Doug Dangler. This podcast begins a 16-part series of interviews with writers who attended the Ohioana Book Festival on May 10th, 2008. The authors cover a wide gamut of interests and genres, from self-help to science fiction to historical fiction and 3D experience novels. The idea for the project was to ask the same series of questions to as many authors as I could round up to talk to me and see what their responses were. I think their responses were great, and I hope you really enjoy listening to them. Our first author is Mary Doria Russell, a Cleveland-based author whose works include The Sparrow, Children of God, the Pulitzer Prize-nominated A Thread of Grace, and most recently, Dreamers of the Day. Dr. Russell has won 9 national and international literary awards, and she's been a finalist for several more. Enjoy. What kinds of questions are you working on and thinking about in your current work, say the latest novel?
Yeah, the one that I'm working on right now is called 8 to 5 Against, and it's a murder mystery set in Dodge City in 1878 with Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp. This is the summer that they became friends. And the big issues underneath it are the rule of law and gun control and vice laws, which is tremendously contemporary. I'm actually on the City of South Euclid's Planning and Zoning Commission, and I am the one who is writing the vice laws and the zoning for the gun shops. So we're right back into the exact same things that they were dealing with in Dodge City.
Okay. Good, good. I won't ask about your experience with vice, whether that's led you into...
Well, my dad was a cop.
Oh, okay.
Which is one of the reasons I was drawn to Wyatt, because I believe in honest cops. I believe that it is possible to be an honest cop.
Great.
Naive though that might be.
My next door neighbor's a cop, so
there
I've got to
go.
Agree with you.
There you go.
Or he might arrest me.
That's right.
How much of an obligation do you think fiction has to engage with issues of current importance? Apparently a lot.
Well, for me, certainly that's something that's important. I always have some sort of underlying, it's sort of the backbone of each one of the books. There's some issue that I want to get to the bottom of, that I want to understand as an individual. But I also think that the great advantage of fiction as a way of exploring big issues is that it isn't simply the philosophy, it isn't simply the historical fact, it brings emotion to the study of these things. It gives you characters who engage your emotions as you go through the narrative. You care about what happens to them if it's well-written historical fiction. Mm-hmm. And because you care about them, you care about their world and the problems that they confront and the issues that are parts of their lives. And so it gives you kind of a nest in your mind to then go on to the nonfiction and the philosophical questions beyond those things, and you have a reason for wanting to know them.
Let's shift gears a little bit, and I want to ask you about newer writers, or when you were coming out as a new writer. How concerned do you think newer writers should be about publication?
Oh, Lord. There isn't anybody who's writing. Even somebody who writes only a diary. You have a reader in mind. And I think that there isn't a writer on the planet that doesn't want as many eyeballs as possible on what they've written. You don't do it for yourself, although there's always a big personal payoff, I think, as you work. I don't know what I think until I have my hands on a keyboard, and I'm working it through. That is the day-by-day advantage of being a writer, is you're engaging in your own mind, and you're working out what you think about these things and different ways of approaching problems. And if you have multiple characters, multiple points of view, then you have to be able to articulate different views of whatever your central question is. But certainly, everybody wants as many readers as they can get.
So you start thinking about publication as
instantly.
Instantly.
Yeah, my first book was about Jesuits in space, and I was thinking nobody is going to ever publish this. It's just too weird. And when they make the movie, they'll... You know, so you've got those things going on in your mind simultaneously.
Okay. What's the funniest or the best anecdote you've heard about the writing life?
Oh, the best one is Richard Gildermeister is a bookseller up in Cleveland. And Richard is now well on in years, and he has worked for every bookstore everywhere in Cleveland for the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. And he told me about working at the May Company, where there was a signing by Dr. Seuss. And it was supposed to be over at 12 o'clock. And, of course, the kids were down the stairs and around the block and out the door. I mean, it was just mobbed. And so Richard came up to Dr. Seuss at the end of it was supposed to end at noon. And he said, I know that you're supposed to go on, and if you have another engagement, we'll understand if you have to leave right now, but I did want to let you know that the children are wrapped around the block. And Dr. Zeus said, oh my, no child will go home without a signed book if I have anything to say about it. And Richard thought, oh, what a great guy. Isn't he fabulous? And then he heard Dr. Zeus muttering something as he took each book and signed it and handed it to the child and took each book and signed it and handed it to the child. And what Dr. Zeus was muttering was, 50 cents, 50 cents, 50 cents. He was counting royalties. So that just cracked me up. And it put a whole different spin on both Dr. Zeus and book tours.
Apparently, the places you go will be to the bank.
Well put, yes.
What are you reading at the moment?
What am I reading at the moment? I have been completely immersed in Dodge City in 1878. Mm-hmm. But because my characters teach me so many things, I am currently reading music theory. I read a lot of nonfiction because I have to know what my characters know. And Doc Holliday was almost a concert-level pianist.
Really?
He studied from the time he was 5 years old. His mother was a piano teacher. And he played classical concerti. And so I need to know about 19th century piano concerti. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning music theory, and it's just opened up worlds for me.
Oh,
he's been fascinating.
What authors do you particularly admire? Who's on your top?
Oh, gee. Ursula K. Le Guin.
Right.
Is a classical science fiction novelist, but she has just jumped genre as well and has written a book called Lavinia. It's based on the Aeneid of Virgil, and Lavinia is the woman that Aeneas marries at the end of the Aeneid. And Ursula worked her way through that book in Latin, 10 lines a day. Because the Latin wasn't very strong, but by God, she got through the whole thing. Now, I am reading the Aeneid because Doc Holliday read in Greek and Latin. And so he knew those are actually the things that I've been reading lately, the Iliad, the Odyssey, the Aeneid, things that he would have read in the original languages. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just a thrill. I have Lavinia on my bedside table. That's the next thing I'm going to after I finish the Aeneid.
Okay. When were you sure you wanted to become a writer?
Oh, dear. I backed into it. I was a hardcore biological anthropologist. I worked for 20 years as a biological anthropologist. I taught anatomy. I never took a writing course. I never wanted to be a writer. It was something that I never anticipated. I have always been a passionate reader and an analytical reader. And when I was 42... I had gotten past the point where I thought that anything I got out of the library was worthy of finishing. Mm. Okay, I don't know. Until 42, I was still thinking, well, if you get it out of the library, if you buy a book, you're contractually required to read it. And at 42, you get to the point where you say, you know, some things just aren't worth my time. So I started paying attention to what makes me continue reading a book. What makes me get 40 or 50 pages into it and then I just never pick it up again? Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Is that the case? And what it came down to is I lost my job. My entire department was closed down at Case. Yeah, the basic sciences department in the dental school was closed down.
Wow.
And so I had time on my hands, and I had an idea for what I thought was going to be a short story. And that turned into The Sparrow and Children of God. So 850 pages later, my short story was finished.
Okay. Well, that's terrific. I want to thank you very much for coming
welcome.
To Ohio Anna today. And do you have any parting words of advice for up-and-coming writers?
Read. Read the best. Read crap. And figure out why they're different. Pay attention as you read. What works, what doesn't. Some writers are brilliant at dialogue. Mm-hmm. Others have this poetic lyric quality to their prose. Figure out what's good and reach for it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
You're most welcome.